Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're answering skeptics' questions this month, and there's a lot of questions that skeptics ask as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as the Word of God is concerned, as far as the person and work of Jesus Christ is concerned. And we're going to try to cover as many of those questions as we possibly can this month. And, you know, over the last number of years, with this amalgamation of different religious beliefs and thoughts here in America, and you know, at one time Christianity stood head and shoulders above every other.
It's just presumed.
It's just sheer numbers. That's what everybody grew up as, Christians. And then over the last 150 years, different religious groups have come in, and so it raises the question: Is there just one way to God? Are there many ways to God? And so the current out there in the culture is that there are many ways to God. Some of the most famous celebrities are espousing that view. Even some within the Christian community are saying, yes, I believe there are many ways to God. Jesus is good, and you know his death, burial, and resurrection, that's what I believe. But there may be other, you know, there may be other possibilities. So that is a question we hear time and time again. Why do Christians say there's only one way to God? And so that's the question we want to tackle today. And I think there is a very simple answer, because Jesus is the only one that can provide what we need to enable us to draw near to God. So the Bible says that we're dead spiritually, that there was a separation that came about as a result of sin that Adam and Eve did in the garden. They were separated from God. God called that spiritual death. They died the day they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they passed on that condition to every single person, every single boy or girl that ever has come into this world was born in that same condition, just as Adam and Eve found themselves after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, born dead spiritually. Now, we look at babies and think, well, they're so innocent, and they're so wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, at some point, they get corrupted by the world, and they choose to sin. And that's when the age of accountability and all of that. But the reality is that they actually come into this world dead spiritually. And you start to see manifestations of that very early in those infants' lives. They learn to lie before they can talk. They learn to get angry at their brothers or sisters who, you know, are taking from them. Where did that come from? Well, all of those are manifestations of that spiritual condition. Well, how are we going to solve that? How are we going to go from death to life? How are we going to reverse what happened in the garden? Well, Jesus said, I came that you might have life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said to the Pharisees, you study the scriptures in hopes that you will find eternal life, but these are the scriptures that speak about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
Yes.
We see that word just time and time and time again. We see in the act of salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. We were saved by grace. So salvation in Christ Jesus is the one that reverses that what happened in the garden. He takes us from death to life. In John 5:24, he said, whoever believes in him whom God sent and believes in the words that he has spoken crosses over from death to life. So only Jesus can do that. So it's not like these other philosophies might be nice and, you know, have some really logical thinking to them, but they don't solve that problem. They do not solve that problem. They do not give an answer to that person laying in a casket saying that there is hope for you beyond that grave. Jesus is the only hope. That's why he's the only way. God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And we come into this world dead spiritually. How are we going to get to God? We have to be made alive just as he is alive. Jesus is the only one that can do that. That's why John said in his first letter, he who has the Son has life.
Yes.
This is a testimony that life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So it's as simple as that. That may sound exclusive. That may sound all sorts of things, but it's true. It's absolutely true. There may be a group of physicians that find the cure for cancer, and they're the only ones that have it. Well, what are you going to tell somebody with cancer? You're going to tell them to go to that particular group.
Whatever you do, don't go to those people.
Yeah.
It's silly.
It is. But you're not going to tell them to go somewhere else. No. You're not going to tell them there are many cures to cancer when that's not true. There's only one, and it's here. Go to this group, and they will give you the cure for cancer. So we were in a situation. We had a condition. It was called spiritual death. Jesus came to fix that, and he's the only one that can fix it. And he's the only one that's ever made a claim that he could fix it. And I think that's what's so vitally important. There is no other religious philosophy. There is no other religious founder. There is no other secular philosophy that has ever made a claim that they can give life to those who are dead. Well, we're all dead spiritually. We all know something's deeply wrong with us. Jesus is the only solution. That's why he said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. May sound exclusive, but it's true. And so we have to stand on the fact that there is only one way. There is only one truth. There is only one life, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And I think the most loving thing that we can do as believers in Christ is to deliver that message loud and clear, to not back away from it, not try to kind of mix things and appease somebody else. I think we should just say it for what it is, because the Bible clearly declares it for what it is. Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. Let's lay it out there and let that connect with people and draw them unto Christ so that they can receive life, be born again, and be a part of this kingdom of God, and know with certainty, with great hope, that when they are absent from the body, they're going to be present with the Lord.
This is the bold message that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad that you've joined us. We would love for you to come in and be a part of the conversation at 844-322-2742. Whether you live in the U.S. or in Canada, it's a toll-free call, 844-322-2742. And Bob and Richard, you know, we're talking about the skeptics and skepticism that is rampant in the world today toward Christianity. Some of the questions that they ask are how do you know that the Bible is true? Was Jesus real, and did he really come back to life in the Old Testament? Why does God seem so different from Jesus in the New Testament? And can you explain the inconsistencies in the Bible? Well, these are the questions that skeptics are asking. They seem to want answers sometimes, but for many, their search leads to toxic information that only fans the flames of doubt. To address these questions with the clarity of a modern cold case police investigation, we're offering a book called Cold Case Christianity. Not too easy for me to say today. Cold Case Christianity. It's written by L.A. County homicide detective and former atheist J. Warner Wallace. Cold Case Christianity examines the claims of the New Testament using the skills and strategies of a hard-to-convince criminal investigator. We want you to have a copy of it, and guys, I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. But friends, you can get your copy when you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month of March. Cold Case Christianity is yours with your gift to Basic Gospel. For your copy, click donate at basicgospel.com. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, a question that came in, guys, overnight. This is from Jimmy in Oregon.
Hi there. Hey, my name is Jimmy from Oregon, and I had a question about Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler, and at the end of 21, he says that he should take up his cross. And so I just thought, I was just going to ask if you guys could kind of maybe give your opinion on it. Obviously, Jesus is foreshadowing, and I just was curious how often maybe you see that in gospel and maybe any other insight on it. So thanks. Appreciate it. Take care.
Well, Jimmy, thanks for that question. Yes. And actually, the reference to take up your cross and follow me is in Mark 8, 34, 10, 21. Jesus is looking at this rich young ruler and saying, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Mm-hmm. That's what that particular verse says. So jumping back to Mark 8, 34, what does Jesus mean when he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me? I think many of us would look at that phrase and condense it down to, well, it's a burden that we have to bear. And I don't think that's what this phrase means at all. It's not about burdens that we have to bear. The cross was a symbol of death. Jesus Christ died on a cross, and he wants us to die with him, in him, so that we can be made alive together with Christ, so that we could come out, be raised to walk in the newness of life. So we have to say no to the old way of life, and then yes to this new way of life, which is by grace through faith in Jesus. So that's dying. That's dying. Coming to grips with the fact that that old way of life is empty. There's no substance there. There's nothing of value there, that life is going to be eternally condemned. So we need to die to that. Yes. And come alive to Jesus. So that's what it means to take up the cross and follow Christ. He's the only one that has life. It gets back to our skeptic question number one today. Are there many ways to God? No, only Jesus.
Yes.
And why? Because he has life. So when we die, we're going to have to follow the one that has life so that we can have life. So this is a salvation encouragement, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at the truth that we're supposed to speak to ourselves. One is, I don't have the answer. That's denying myself. Two is, I'm dead. I might as well be on the cross. Let me pick that up and admit my death. And then he says, follow me. What a progression.
Yes.
Because when we come to Jesus normally, we come to him full of ourselves. Well, I need you, Lord, when I can't quite get the answer, but in the meantime, I've got this. He says, no, you don't. You don't have any of it. You're dead. Everything that you have to offer is just garbage. Admit all of that and come to me. You know, what good would it be, he follows on, what would it be to gain the whole world, but because you refuse to accept me, to lose everything?
Yeah, and it goes over to the rich young ruler. So
yes.
He asked the question, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus said, well, why do you call me good? No one is good. And that's a great theological statement right there, that Jesus was claiming to be God, to be deity. And but he goes on to say, you know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. And the rich young ruler says, teacher, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. So if he knew he had kept that, why was he asking the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Obviously, he knew he was missing the mark. Well, Jesus was going to tell him how he was missing the mark. But when he heard the news, he was like, no, that's way too important to me. My riches, my wealth, that's what defines me. That's what gives me meaning and purpose to life. Jesus, I want you to rubber stamp that and say, that's okay. And Jesus is never going to be okay with spiritual death. He will never be okay with spiritual death. His purpose, his desire is to always bring somebody to that point where they say, no, it's this repentance. They turn away from that old way of life, and they recognize that real life, true life, genuine life is found in Christ and Christ alone. And so they walk away from the things that once defined them, and they grab hold of what now defines them through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So he was unwilling to do that. He was unwilling to deny himself, to die, and then follow Jesus. And that to his shame and to his detriment. So there's no negotiating with Jesus. We cannot go to Jesus and ask him to make our manifestation of spiritual death okay. No matter how we spin it, no matter how we try to make it look good and positive and meaningful to us, it's still spiritual death. Jesus will never be okay with spiritual death. He came that we might have life and to have it abundantly. There's only one way, die to the old and come alive to the new.
Yes. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and Jimmy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, can't get to us while we're actually on the air during the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you can call 844-322-2742, and you can do that 24 hours a day and leave your question as Jimmy did. That's 844-322-2742, and it is in the 3 o'clock hour right now, so we are live, and we would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Question that comes up a lot of times, guys, this is from Melissa in Tabor, Alberta, and she wrote to us some time ago, and it's, as I said, it's a question that a lot of people struggle with. She says, I was wondering about the meaning of the number 666. She says she has family friends that are terrified about it to the point of changing their license plate because it had that number on it, and she would like us to share our thoughts on that, and it would be much appreciated. That's from Melissa.
Well, 666 is the mark of the beast. We read about that in the book of Revelation.
Yep.
Many have speculated as to who that might be. How are we going to determine that? There are some theologians that hold to a view that Nero was actually that guy, that his name was that number. When you look at the Roman name of Nero and when you attach numbers to it, it adds up to 666. And he certainly fits the bill as to what the Antichrist was going, or what the beast was going to look like and be, and how he was going to act. He certainly wreaked havoc on the Christian community during his reign. So there's one identifier in human history that fits that. Is there another one to come? And, you know, folks have been speculating on that for years, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a definite maybe.
You
know, everybody's convinced it's going to be, but nobody's identified it yet. Or every time we've tried to identify it, we end up with egg on our face.
Right, right.
Yeah, this issue, there's an alternative reading for this that says is humanity's number. And so that takes away from us the ability to say it's this person specifically or that person specifically. What he's talking about is, look, there's this whole loss column, the death column. Everybody's there. Everybody wants to be in charge of that column for some reason, and they will wreak havoc to do so. And he says, you know, all of Revelation, in fact, all of apocalyptic literature throughout the Bible is always pointing to the Messiah. They're not pointing to the evil people and saying, here's who you should emulate. They're saying, these people are going to exist. They're going to be terrible, terrible people. Sometimes they'll hurt themselves and their own as badly as they hurt Christians. That's how bad they are. If you just look to Jesus, there's your hope. There's your salvation. There's your completeness. And then you don't have to fear.
Right.
And that's what this number, in the way it's normally talked about, causes. It's fear. Oh, my goodness, what happens if, you know, I get a new driver's license or a new credit card and it's got 666 on it? Oh, no, does that mean? No, just stop. Go to Jesus.
That's right.
And
that's
say,
right. Yeah.
I trust you.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
step
right.
away from the credit card.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No, it's... I get excited about this and passionate about it because I used to be one of those people. And when God finally got through to me and said, do you think that I can handle this? And at first I said, well, obviously you can't. You know, you need my help. And then he laughed just like that. And I finally came to understand that God absolutely can handle it. He's already handled it. He handled it before it was a problem. He handled it. And now we get to revel in the gift that he has given us that demonstrates that we, too, have been handled by him forever, safely, lovingly, and we can walk through life and never fear this number. I mean that. Never fear this
so
number.
So if you just happen to go and get a new license plate and it comes out, you know, Texas 666 or whatever, that is not marking you as the evil one, as the Antichrist. If you're a believer, if you are in Christ, you have already been marked out by him
with the Holy
as
Spirit.
One of his.
Yes.
You have been given the Holy Spirit. So you have the mark of Jesus on you and in you.
Yeah.
And so any external thing that may associate you with evil, that is just purely coincidence. It's nothing that God is doing or God is going to recognize. The only thing he is going to recognize is the fact that he has already deposited in you his Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
You have been sealed for the day of redemption. So rest in that. Trust in that. And when you read through the book of Revelation, there really is, I think, one of the clearest trails of assurance that goes from the beginning to the very end. And if you will mark out that trail, you will come to the end with the deepest sense that you belong to Christ that you will ever have. It's a really powerful, powerful testimony that the Apostle John gives in this very last of books in the Bible.
Imagine what would happen if instead of abject fear, you responded to the new license plate by saying, oh, my goodness, what an opportunity. Because you know everybody's going to ask you, ooh, 666.
Right.
Well, there's your opportunity right there to say, oh, not at all. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You want to know how that happened?
Right.
It's perfect.
Yeah. A great segue into a very meaningful conversation about somebody coming to life in Jesus Christ.
Another catalyst for conversation, I think television has certainly popularized the term cold case. You know, Christianity actually could be defined as a cold case that makes a claim about an event from the distant past for which there is very little forensic evidence. Well, there is a new book called Cold Case Christianity by J. Warner Wallace. He's an L.A. County detective and a former atheist, and he uses his nationally recognized skills as that homicide detective to look at the evidence and eyewitnesses behind Christian beliefs. It's gripping stories that he has captured in his book and from his career and the visual techniques he developed in the courtroom. And he uses illustration to examine the powerful evidence that validates the claims of Christianity. Cold Case Christianity is a unique apologetic that speaks to readers and our interest in detective stories. And it will, of course, embolden us in our confidence in Christ. It's our way of saying thank you. We're going to give you a copy of it as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. And for standing with us, your support is very, very needed, and we appreciate it so much. We appreciate all of those of you who are with us month by month and your support. And to say thanks, we're going to give you a copy of Cold Case Christianity. And all you need to do to get yours is click donate at basicgospel.net. And we encourage you to go there. And while you're on the website, we encourage you to look around and take advantage of all the information that's there. But certainly click donate at basicgospel.net, and we'll get a copy of Cold Case Christianity coming on its way to you.
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. If you're looking for a rock-solid faith, if you're looking for reasonable answers as to why you believe this good news about Jesus, this will really help solidify that in your own life. So I recommend it to you personally. For your own spiritual walk with Christ. And then if you live in this world, you know, if you have kids in public schools, if you have, you know, just workplace friends, conversations are going to come up. There's going to be questions about Christianity. There's going to be questions about the Bible. This book will help you think through those questions and will equip you to give rock solid answers that can be a catalyst for somebody wanting to know more, wanting to learn more about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Tomorrow, our teaching edition through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. So for Bob Richard, ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.